Today's episode is brought to you by SalesCred Pro, the strategic resource for B2B sales that fortifies your credibility and accelerates the trust building needed for building successful business relationships. Get your free 7-day trial now at salescred.com/PRO. Welcome to the Manage Smarter podcast with hosts C. Lee Smith and Audrey Strong. We're glad you're here for discussions on new ways to manage smarter, hire, develop, and retain talent, improve results, and propel team performance to new heights. This is the Manage Smarter podcast.
You know, Lee, you don't just want clients. You want clients that are loyal and will be a client for life. We haven't talked about clients for life on this show.
No, it's something that I was trained on from my mentor, Jeffrey Gittimer, who was always very interesting in his candor, even though it wasn't always politically correct. And he would always used to say, is like, you want your wife to be satisfied or loyal? So we're going to talk about the second part today, because really being satisfied is just not enough. You want people that are going to be loyal and clients for life.
That's right. Welcome to Manage Smarter, everyone. That's what we're talking about today. My name is Audrey Strong. I'm Senior Vice President of Communications here at Sales Fuel.
And I'm C. Lee Smith, CEO and founder of Sales Fuel. Send all your emails to me with all your complaints.
Because we want clients for life. And Richard Wildman is here, thank goodness, to the rescue. And boy, what a life this gentleman has had. Orphaned at age 6, Richard has lived in 19 foster homes and attended 11 different schools. But rather than becoming a victim of those circumstances, he overcame them and has had remarkable business success, including as an award-winning general sales manager of Rolls-Royce, to heading sales and marketing for The Rob Report, which is a magazine for the luxury lifestyle from its inception until its record liquidity event. He's a Hall of Fame inducted keynote speaker, inducted into the Customer Experience Hall of Fame for his work helping brands engage with their customers and retain them, and the author of 2 international bestsellers, the latest of which is it's called The Power of Why, Breaking Out in a Competitive Marketplace. That's in 7 languages. He's also, that book is a CEO Reads bestseller. The next book, just out, 2024, 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life, available on Amazon and your favorite bookstores. And finally, Horatio Alger nominee for his philanthropic work on behalf of orphans and widows. What a life. Richard, it's such a privilege for you to give us your time today. I appreciate it.
Well, Audrey and Lee, it's my privilege to be with you, and I'm so grateful for the invitation to share with your constituents today some of the ideas that are important to them. Thank you.
So, Lee, kick it off.
But before we get into the ways in which you retain and keep clients for life, what are some of the reasons why they leave?
Well, there are several. One, of course, and the one that everybody loves to talk about is competency. But competency is, for the most part, a given. If you are running an air conditioning business, we believe that your company and your technicians are proficient. If you're a dentist, we expect you to be proficient. So competency is a given today. The reason people leave primarily is because, for several reasons. One, they feel taken for granted. Secondly, they're treated as a transaction, not as an individual. Thirdly, they really feel as though the experience that they're having is really not in any way elevated. Fourth, they don't feel like there's any personalization or humanization going on whatsoever. They get emails, dear client, dear customer. Mm-hmm. I could continue, but I think those pretty much set the table for where people are today. People, frankly, worldwide, are fed up mm-hmm. with just being taken for granted. And we'll take your money. We'll do the transaction. There's no follow-up. There's no cultivation. And yet the bedrock of business today, and with AI coming as strong as it is, I do a lot of work in that space. It's the relationships that companies and professionals, let's call them sales and marketing executives, professionals, that they build with their customer base is what's going to drive the business forward, because AI is going to really, really turn almost every industry that is not fully commoditized now totally commoditized.
So there's got to be a reason why then we've moved so far away from personal relationships in business, you know, which... Yeah, quite frankly, you and I both believe, quite frankly, are still, you know, paramount, mm-hmm. right? But why have companies moved so far away from that? And then, yeah, my fear with the AI is that they're going to continue moving further away from that. How can we prove to, you know, our bosses and our boardrooms and everything like that it's actually more profitable than to focus more on human relationships than it is on automation?
Well, it's by stepping back and looking at the companies that are excelling in the fields. when I got, regardless of what field you're in, and it's the companies. I'll just give you an illustration, if I may. Chick-fil-A. Let's just look at Chick-fil-A. Just as a very quick model. Okay, Chick-fil-A, and I knew the founder, Truett Cathy, and I were close friends. We traveled and did a lot of work together. And he always used to tell me, Richard, we always need to remind the crew, that's what he called them, that we're in the people business, we're not in the chicken business. We're never going to be in the chicken business, we're going to be in the people business. And so what's happened to Chick-fil-A? Now let's set the stage. Chick-fil-A closes 52 days a year, every Sunday. So that means November 15th, we want to put it in context, they close November 15th and reopen January 1st. Yet they produce more revenue per store than any other fast food franchise location in the world, and they're closed 52 days a year, and they're not open 24/7. So there's the context. Now, the question you have to step back and say, why is this happening? Very simple. I interviewed people. I walked down that line of cars and said, why are you here? Oh, the chicken sandwich, the chicken tenders, the chicken. I said, but so that's why you're here? Well, they're so kind and they're so nice to us here. And so that began part of my journey. You know, I interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of consumers in all different sectors of the marketplace in our consulting work and coaching and my speaking, and discovered at Chick-fil-A, the reason they went there is because people said, please, thank you, and my pleasure. So if there were ever a model that any company could pursue, that's certainly one we should look at. Recognizing those three little points have completely changed the dynamics of that particular company. Why? Because people are desperate for someone to connect with them at a personal level, Lee.
And whoever designed their drive-through, whoever engineered that, or whoever, when it comes to the customer experience, whoever deserves a gold medal. I mean, that's really well done.
Yeah.
So what is this great reevaluation that you reference with the new book? I mean, what is happening? If people want a less transactional experience and it's time to wake up to that, or the pendulum swinging back?
I think very, very astute. That's exactly what's happened is people have come to the point now that they're going through a great reevaluation. And frankly, if we all listening to this, just ask ourselves, okay, am I with the right dry cleaner? Am I with the right dentist, the right doctor, the right hairdresser? We can make a long, the right financial advisor, the right realtor, the list goes on. And what's happened through, because of the pandemic, people realized they could go online. They had lots of options. People who perhaps shopped online now realize that online is a vast world of opportunity. So what it's done is commoditized most industries, if not all. So what's the point of this? The point is real simple, that what people have decided is they're evaluating. Am I with the right firm? Am I with the right professional? Am I being treated correctly? And if not, they're moving to another business or another provider. Just to give you an example, in our studies that we did, in our consulting work, we found, and we're talking about all types of industries, hospitality, fast food, the NFL, financial services, real estate. And in interviewing people, what we discovered was 20 to 30% of satisfied clients in of a firm or a customer of a firm, they're loyalty neutral. 20 to 30% of the people we interviewed, when we said, how do you like this? Oh, I'm very satisfied there. Would you be willing to move? Absolutely, I'd be willing to move. If they start taking me for granted, or they continue to communicate with me as though I'm an accountant, not a person. In fact, I'm thinking about moving. And so what we discovered was satisfied clients are loyalty neutral, satisfied customers. So our objective should be, to your point, Audrey, they're in a great reevaluation. We need to get involved in a great re-engagement, which is why I wrote this book, because I started to ask people, what do people need to do? What do companies need to do? And they said, for God's sakes, they need to know my name. They need to stop signing their email, sincerely yours, it's institutional, and stop signing it best because it's rude.
Yeah.
They say warm regards or kind regards. I mean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's many, many other things.
I hope this email finds you well, Richard.
The email's finding me well. I just
That's my pet peeve.
So how do you regain how do you recapture that? I'm somebody who's insane. Lee will tell you this. I think it's all about the service level and over-servicing people out so that you stand out. What are some of the other ways that you can stand out? And
okay, let me speak to the service. Today, as you know, good service is a minimum expectation. I mean, if you go to McDonald's and a fries are cold, they're going to replace them for you at good service. And if good service was good enough, then how come companies are struggling to retain their customers or acquire new ones? And why are people leaving companies that have so-called good service? What people are interested in is a great experience. And there's four things they look for. And if you want to regain your footing, all those interviews we did, there are four things that over and over and over again through our work that I found that people, number one, they want to deal with a firm that cares about their situation or a sales professional or a marketing. So number one is you've got to demonstrate that you care about these people. Number two, that you're thoughtful about these individuals. And in other words, communicate from their point of view and stop trying to convince me to buy something, but rather be curious about that which it is that I need. So they want some caring. They want some thoughtful. They want a company and an individual to be kind, to go the extra step, do the extra thing. And number four, be empathetic. So understanding, let's say competency is a given, that you're competent. What people are looking for are those four things: kindness, thoughtfulness, caring, and empathy. And if you do that, there's no amount of competitive dollars that can get thrown at you that's going to dislodge that customer. Why? Because they become delighted advocates.
It sounds like something that the company can't do. That's something that company's people have to do. That's on the front lines.
That's correct. It starts at the top. May I give you a quick example?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. I'm speaking in Nashville before I wrote the book, a year ago, whatever, November. And I mean, it was percolating in my brain. I was fighting. I didn't want to write the book. You know, it's a lot of work. But I was speaking in Nashville, and I was at the Opryland Hotel, and, you know, normal keynote. I've done 4,000 or so around the world. So, 1,200 or so people in the audience, a big crowd. So I'm speaking on elevating the client experience to stand apart from the competition. All right. So I'm about 20 minutes in. I stopped and I said, by the way, I saw on LinkedIn this morning that this woman posted about her cat. She had a standing order with Chewy for cat food. It came every month. Well, she just got her order this last week, and she called Chewy on the phone and said, I want to return the cat food. My cat has died. And the rep at Chewy said, absolutely not. You cannot return that cat food. Of course, the audience now is like, ooh. And I said, the rep said, you cannot return that cat food. However, we want you to donate it to the shelter, and we'll give you 100% credit on the bill. Ooh, the audience goes, yeah.
Nice saying.
Then I said, that's only part of the story, because the rest of the story is, this woman said 3 days later, she got a bouquet of flowers from the rep at Chewy and a condolence card. And at that instant, this woman stood up in the middle of 1,200 people, held up her phone and said, that was my cat. Screamed at me.
Oh, my God. What are the odds?
She said, that was my cat. And I said, she said, I posted it. Look, I got over 1,000 likes already. I just stopped. I said, ladies and gentlemen, that was an illustration. So what do you think of Chewy? The whole room, I don't know, 1,200 people start chanting, we're switching to Chewy. We're switching to Chewy. So therein was the proof evident right there on the spot. Now, how does that happen? It's because the leadership at the top said, we're going to personalize and humanize every customer relationship. So a lot of executives will often say, well, you know, we don't have time for our frontline people to be engaged at that level of interaction. But that's why you end up losing the customers. They all have customer relationship management systems. I've looked at hundreds of them, ways to capture the customer preferences. Why don't they take that CRM and relabel it? CXM, customer experience management, and log the things that are important to people. And when you you can interface with them.
Richard, I have a story that's somewhat similar. I haven't told this since the sixth episode of this show. And like, we're like in the 250s now. So, but you know, back when I bought my first Tesla, I had to take it in for service. And, you know, they gave me the loaner car and everything like that. I said, is there anything else that we can do for you? You know, and I said, how about a Johnny Walker Black? Ha ha, that was funny and everything like that. So I get the text in the next day to go pick up my car. I go in there, I open the car door or whatever. In the center console is a bottle of Johnny Walker Black. So, and it's like at that point in time, I was a Tesla fan for life. I'm on my fourth one right now. So,
yeah, and you know, that's a wonderful story. And what was the giveaway? When you said, I bought my first Tesla, that was
first.
That's right.
Right.
I thought, well, that would somehow indicate
that was a sequence. He is a brand evangelist. And so that's what we're really talking about here is the Clients for Life is creating brand evangelists for
right,
you.
Right. Exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly right, Audrey. You end up with people that are delighted advocates, brand ambassadors for your business in the community. And, you know, it used to be if people were upset, they would, you know, call the office and complain. Now they go online and tell them, boycott the business, burn the building down. But at the same time, I can tell you from our experience in interviewing so many people over the years in our consulting division and coaching and interviews I've done of salespeople and that we've worked with, we know that people today really feel compelled to share their experience with people in their network. Mm-hmm. And everybody, 87% of Americans, as an example, and it's the same all over the world, are connected to other people through their what they do for a living or recreation or some special interest group, whatever it may be. So when you build a brand advocate, or as you said, a brand ambassador, or someone that's marketing on the street on your behalf, that really, really builds great influence in the mind of other people. So you're exactly right, Audrey. Right.
What would happen if that rep then left Chewy and went to a competing company that did the same thing as Chewy for the same price points and everything like that? Would that lady with the cat leave and go, would she follow the rep or would she stay with Chewy? Where's the loyalty?
The loyalty would likely be, now this is a tricky question, in the sense that some industries like financial services, they might follow the advisor. Mm-hmm. Real estate agent, they would follow the agent. But in the case of a customer service representative at Chewy, first, I doubt they have access to the client base, but even if they did, those people are going to continue to buy from Chewy for the very fact that Chewy is the one that, shall we say, empowered, enabled individuals to be able to go that extra mile, to do that extra step. And Chewy is well known for this. Zappo is another one. There are a lot. Look at Wynn Hotels. I mean, it's amazing what the Wynn's done because they personalize and humanize every interaction. And that's what people are looking for. People hate it when, if their name is David and you email them, Dear Dave, they might go by David. Dr. Donna Wilson may want to be called by Doctor and not Donna. You know, T. Boone Pickens never went by T. He went by So we have to be mindful of these things. And most companies are not there. And it's not, and it's, and here's why. Companies are in love, and people are in love that work there, and rightly so, with the product and the planning and the process and the procedures. I call it all the P's, you know, the plan, the performance, the process, the plan, the product. They're in love with that. But the consumer is in a completely different place now. They're in love with the experience and the outcome. So if you don't focus on the experience and the outcome and build a portfolio of great memories working with your firm, you can rest assured you're going to lose market share. And with AI, now it's very easy for companies to personalize and humanize. Far easier. Everybody's like, well, AI is going to take the person up, the relationship out. Au contraire. I work with several AI companies, and I can tell you right now, their ability to personalize and humanize is astounding. So
it's going to be better. Okay. That's interesting.
Well, better than most customer service, almost all customer service reps for that point. So you mentioned a lot of P's. What about the four E's? I read that in your book.
Yes. When I talk about, what are the four E's? Elevating the experience to make an emotional engagement. That's what, if we were to summarize, what's driving relationship? The elevated experience that drives an emotional engagement. And I think we would all agree that relationships drive revenue. They drive a lot of things, but they certainly drive revenue. Well, what does it take to build a good relationship? Well, you got to have what? An elevated experience so you can emotionally engage with people. And that's what the four E's. And what's the bedrock? Again, what a consumer says the bedrock? We interviewed hundreds and hundreds of
people. They care about me.
Right. They care about me. They're kind to me. They're thoughtful to me. And they're empathetic about me. And I would summarize it this way. I think people are desperate for someone to sit on their side of the table.
When I have a funny, quick little Reader's Digest, large print version story. But when we bought this house in Dallas, the people that sold it to us gave us a binder, Richard, of like, this is our lawn guy and this is our pest guy and blah, blah, blah. And so I call the lawn guy, haven't met him. He comes over and I've stayed with him for 4 years. There are a million lawn guys here that come and mow, right? Because when I first, the first year that he worked with us, every single time, big smile. And he would say, how are you doing? How is your family? He always asked me that. Nobody asks me that at Walgreens or, I mean, he just really genuinely wanted to talk. And he could have come and mowed and left and I wouldn't have even seen him.
And what a blessed
little
point
things.
What a blessed point. You know how many people say, how you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Okay. How you doing? Just by adding a, how are you and your family doing? The very fact that he brought the family into the conversation expands a conversation and you want to, you'll say, well, they're doing fine. Margie's going off to school and, you know, George is really working hard. All of a sudden, their story, and this is what people are desperate for, is somebody cares enough to find out their story. You know, salespeople sit down and say, well, how can I help you? What can I do for you? Well, God bless you. I don't know. But if you sat down and said, listen, I'm in, I don't pick a business, I'm in the engineering business, I'm an architect, and we build fabulous homes. But before we get to all of that, how long have you lived here in the Dallas area? Get them to tell a little of their story. It builds the emotional, those four E's. It builds that connection. If you're a financial advisor, don't say, what can I do for you? You can say, I'm in the whatever financial business. But before we get to all of that, tell me, how long have you owned your own business here in Columbus, Ohio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are desperate for somebody to care enough to find out who they are and what they're about.
Also, just everyone, I want everybody to know what Richard just did there. So Richard, you know, through a conversation we had before we started recording the show, you know, found out that Audrey is in Dallas, Texas, and I'm in Columbus, Ohio. So he actually then included our location into his example. So it's another great way of personalization right on the fly. But clearly some thought went into that. But beforehand, and that's another great example of showing that you're paying attention, that you care, and you know that we're actually making the conversation not between a buyer and a seller, but between Richard and Lee or Richard and Audrey instead.
Thank you.
When it happens to you, you feel it. You definitely do, because most of the 90% of running around town errands are just totally transactional, like you know.
Yeah.
Lee had a question before you came on the blower, Richard. He said, "Oh, he's got 100. He's got 100 of these. So I'm going to ask him. Go ahead and ask him.
Which one's your favorite?
Out of 100.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. 100 children. Which one's your favorite, Richard? I said, don't ask him.
Yeah, Richard has 100 children. My goodness, he gets around.
It's a very difficult question because, well, I'll just tell you, I sat down to write this, but I fought it for a while. I didn't want to write it. It's just a lot of work, as you all know. But when I started, I just started to write. And I wrote and wrote and wrote for weeks. And I finally came out of the office at home, and my wife looked at me and she said, you're done, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm done. And she said, how many are there? I said, I have no idea. She said, I'm going to go count them. Is that okay? I said, of course. And she came out and she was crying. She said, it's exactly 100. And so I don't know that I have a favorite, Lee, but I do have one thing. The reason I wrote this book is I want to encourage people to take a little time to be human and be genuine with the people with whom they do business. And I have an old Oxford dictionary. I spoke at Oxford a few years ago. And they gave me an Oxford dictionary written in 1827. Mm. And somebody asked me a question about, you know, how can you be authentic? So, you know, which is a throwaway word today. So I looked it up and it said authentic, see genuine. So I looked up genuine, two words, not counterfeit. Great definition. And so in today's world, people feel as though the relationship, they don't have a relationship, they're just a transaction. And as business leaders, we sometimes get very satisfied, but that's a counterfeit feeling. What you want to do is turn your customers, your clients, into delighted advocates. And if you do that, they're not shopping around, they're not looking around. They're advocates for you in the community. So do I have a favorite? Well, I just want to try to help as many individuals as I can to build that connection, those four E's, elevate the experience so that people emotionally engage with you and your firm. And it not only builds market share, but it builds tremendous deep satisfaction with you and your team.
It's richardweilman.com. I'm going to spell the last name, everybody. Weylman. Get the book. This has been such a pleasure. Fascinating stuff. And I mean, who doesn't want every client to be delighted in the end? I think people have the best of intentions. Lee has taught us to always assume positive intent. Mm-hmm. Go out there and make it happen, everybody.
Make somebody else's day.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you all very much. Thanks,
Richard.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on iTunes, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more great information at salesfuel.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.